Okay. I don't know what this is. Three of them probably confidential stuff. Analysis of Krishna stuff. I'm just driving from staying in the Sandbox for a few days. Very nice. We were talking about other things, about why some local leaders in this country of Sweden, or certain senior Vaishnavas, behave in strange ways. How to characterize that strangeness? Well, kind of lack of genuinity, when you say genuinity. The malicious behavior with friends, as you might pretend to be friend of others, actually are just either using them for your purposes. Can I get donations from them? Can I get them to work from that place? And so on. In other words, there might be this agenda there that sometimes seems to shine through and gives a completely different picture of the person, who then may appear a bit like a psychopath. In other words, manipulative. Smiling, charming, whatever front. So I think that some, especially older generation, as you can immediately see what I'm talking about, because there are numerous cases of that kind of behavior. And of course, generally, when you see someone behaving like that to you, you point finger at that person and says, oh, you're bad. Bad. But I want to take it one step further, first by trying to understand why this is. Is this necessarily a psychopath or a power mad person or whatever? But my theory here is that it could be a person who does not have a very deep understanding of what this, you know, transcendental path of Bhakti Yoga and Krishna consciousness and so on is, what it's about, and who are actually, as it appeared gradually, as we settle into our ways, a bit materialistic. Because of course, if you don't understand and practice and live and get that taste for transcendental life, understand clearly the difference between transcendental realm and the material realm, which basically is the basics of this Vaishnava philosophy, then what remains is either impersonalism, materialism. So we can see that there's those who are more, or also due to lack of actual understanding and realization, which of course we all are lacking some extent, I guess, who more behave as impersonalists, Advaitas, Mayavadis, not necessarily by speaking such philosophy, but by behaving in very impersonal ways. Maybe they are completely focused on austerity, renunciation, all of that kind of stuff, right? Studying, courses, learning philosophical intricacies, and so on, right? So, in the same way, others, in another way, the Prabhupada says that there are these two that you tend to otherwise, if you don't get it, as far as bhakti is concerned, there are those two, either materialism or impersonalism, later that you may just trip into. So we can see them as traps, as pitfalls in a way. So depending on who you are, if you're a more sensuous, money loving, power and sex and comfort, enjoyment oriented person, then the tendency would be, of course, that you drift into that kind of field, so to speak. And I'm thinking of maybe that's what those senior devotee leaders who behave like that, they're not really transcendental, they're not really Saragrahis, who have understood that all happiness and everything comes from the meaning and the truth and the satisfaction and all of that comes from within, when we are taking shelter in Krishna and enjoying ourselves in that relationship. Hear about it. They can even lecture about it. They repeat the philosophy. They can sing the mantras, sometimes very well. But you can see somehow or other there is a kind of a distance there. Their eyes and their voices and their attitude. And you get the feeling, at least I do, and I know a few people like that, but they're pretending. Some are doing it by becoming scholarly, authoritative, yes, it's pundit or whatever, and some in other ways. Flavors are the same thing. The kind of neophyte beginner stage of, Kanishta, really, where there is not a proper understanding yet, the Nishta is not there, there is Shraddha and all that, but it's just the beginning stage, and their doubts are actually there and so on. And of course, especially if you are then, as often is the case of us, more the case in the past, joining the Krishna Bhakti movement and then just introduced to a society where hard work is being rewarded the most. You should just work hard and manage those who work hard, accomplish things, and which this is all in itself. In itself, material, right? So it becomes a kind of pretensive thing, and then as you grow older and you're established, maybe in a position, maybe you're running your own temple, maybe you're whatever, you're comfortable, you have got money, you have living facilities, you might have some followers that you can tell what to do, or whatever, then that is difficult to give up. You get attached to it. And you may think, oh, you know, I'm just defending the purity and truth of Srila Prabhupada's mission and so on. I'm important. Look at these other materialistic fallen devotees who just live out there in their homes in the countryside, take care of their children and their jobs and their friends with each other, material friendship, because that's what friendship is. Now we're getting into the personalist contamination here. And they are not contributing to my grand, great temple, which is following in the disciplic succession of the great acharyas, and therefore they are outsiders, they are loot, they are fringes, they are fallen, and so on. We all know that kind of talk. And in that way, I think it developed. So in this way, this is my theory, the ISKCON movement became dominated by those two, because both those two, the ones more of a personalist, tapasya, austere, renounced type, would do the same thing, because we have to lead the world and teach everyone not to become austere, and we are the most austere, and these fallen householders who eat good and maybe even have sex with each other and love their kids, they are just Maya, and you know, that's one of the ones. And the other one is then, of course, again, they are not serving under my command. They are not bona fide, they are outside, inside my project. And then you gather such personalities into a kind of hierarchical structure, different levels, from the lowest, most basic level of local temples and projects, up to the global level. You know, we've got the regional, zonal, and so on. The different positions of power and authority and that. That's, I would say, what has very much created and shaped ISKCON. That's very much a structure that developed. But it's not really built upon proper Vaishnava Siddhanta. How do I dare to claim that? I'm just one of those fallen outsider fringes. Well, I'm going to prove it by proper Vaishnava Siddhanta, because it's all there in Prabhupada's books. Well, first of all, he says in the Nectar Devotion that the main principle that includes all other principles is to always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. In other words, to be Krishna conscious. Always have Krishna in the heart. Whatever, wherever you are, whatever you do, always have Krishna in your heart. That's how Prabhupada explains. And it comes from Paramaparama Prabhupada, and is there in the Nectar Ocean, is the principle containing all other principles. And if you think about that, that's pretty much it, right? And that's why we call this movement the Society for Krishna Consciousness. It doesn't say that it's a Catholic Church style of hierarchical structure with the Pope on top or the bishops and the cardinals. It's not about establishing a religious, shut up lady, religious leaders and authority figures and all of that, which I guess came also partially from the Catholic Church influenced by that, because that's not what this Purana and the Rupa Goswami verse and Prabhupada and the Devotion says. It's about always remembering Krishna and forgetting Krishna. So that's as simple as it is, really, and we can see that these other structures, they may appear, I mean, the more personal kind of the heavy tapasya and austerity and all of that, and the great temple with the great temple president and whatever it is, power structure with the people working for that, and so on. Well, it's not either, so to speak, neither that. So, well, anyway, this is a little, I'll give you time for a little attempt here, at an analysis of this whole thing that we've been talking about pretty much these days, and when I kind of clear up a few days, I mean, you see it a bit